And so tonight we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to scroll through the Scriptures. And God is going to speak to you through His Word. We've been together for the last month, going on our fourth weekend together. And I want to share that it's been a privilege just sharing my faith with you all. And that's what it's all about. I'm just sharing with you what God has done for me. And so tonight it will be no different. We're going to talk about how great and awesome God is and how God wants to move in your life. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious God, our Father, we're just so grateful for your love, first and foremost. Lord, we simply want to say thank you for being God and God all by yourself. Thank you for being alive, awake, and aware in our lives. Thank you, O God, for being attentive. When the business world has closed its door on us, when our family situations have closed the doors in our lives, but Lord, you've been there. When the doctor said that there's no hope, you were there. When your finances were not the way that you wanted them to be, God, you have been there. And so tonight I know that you will not disappoint us. We're asking you to show up again. And Lord, speak to our hearts. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We've been talking for the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks going on our fourth week, about moving to the next level in our relationship with God. Moving to the next level in our relationship with each other. Identifying certain things in our lives that says, God, we want to say yes to you and no to the devil. Oftentimes we have not distinguished that what God wants from us is to be able to simply say yes. Yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, here I am. And I shared with you all just on last week, when we talked about entering into God's rest and relaxing and resting with the Lord. Come on, man. We talked about that when you rest and you relax with the Lord, you are entering into His rest. The reason why some of us are still stressed and strained with the issues of life is because we have not entered into God's rest. Out of the book of Revelations, which is the last book in the Bible, as we are ending up the series, we're going to focus on the last book of the Bible. In the book of Revelations, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Revelations chapter 22. I make sure, and everyone here has a Bible, am I correct? If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. Revelations chapter 22. Revelations meaning an unveiling. That God gave us revelations to unveil to us what will take place in these last days. But the Bible clearly says in Revelation chapter 1, it is a revelation of who? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but it's Jesus Christ that makes the difference. It's Jesus Christ that causes us to walk right and talk right. It is not you of yourself, because you can't do it. But it's the Christ in you that makes a difference. Turn to your neighbor and just smile and say, it's the Christ in me that makes the difference. And you have to believe it. Because when someone upsets you and make you mad and you're ready to storm out, you want to say, it's the Christ in me that makes the difference. Revelation chapter 22, if you have, say amen. The Bible says, and I want you to follow me, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. Now I want to read this slowly because I want you to catch this. And I don't know if many of y'all have read this text before, but I want you to listen to the voice of God as he speaks to you this evening. Not Pastor Richardson's voice, not Evangelist Richardson's voice, but the voice of God. Listen to this. And he showed me and pure river of water of life. Clear as what? Proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his streets, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name, somebody ought to say amen, shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them the light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Then he said to me, listen to this. These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his service these things which must shortly take place. This is where I want to be. Listen to this. Behold, I am coming quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, he identifies himself, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I did what? I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brother the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for the what?
Time.
For the what?
Time.
For the time is at hand. Listen to this. He who is unjust, let him be
unjust.
He who is filthy, let him be
filthy.
He who is righteous, let him be
righteous.
He who is holy, let him be
holy.
And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give every one. I want you to catch that. Everyone. That's when your salvation becomes personal. It's not about the person sitting next to you. Oh, yes, you love them. But when God says his reward is for everyone, he's talking about you. He's saying you have to decide. You have to make a decision. You have to say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Not a group. This is not a group effort. This is not a team effort. This is about you. Everyone according to his words. Now I love this. It says, I am Alpha. That means I'm in control. I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things, listen to this, the last few verses of the whole entire Bible. Listen to what he says. He who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. At the end of this, he finally says, it is my grace. Not by works that you should be saved, but only by the grace of God. The last phrase in the Bible talks about his grace. God is saying, watch this, I'm coming quickly. It is only by my grace. I'm coming quickly. Are you catching this?
Yeah.
It is only by my grace. grace. So tonight, I don't want you to look at the person next to you. I don't want you to focus on the person sitting beside you. This is about you tonight. This is about you and only you making a decision to follow Jesus Christ. For he says, I am coming quickly. It is my grace that's going to cover. That means you have to testify. You have to say, Lord, if I'm going to make it to glory, it's going to only be by your grace. Let me ask you a serious question tonight. Have you ever thought about how the world would end? Have you contemplated how this whole thing would wrap up? Now I'm talking to you tonight. Listen, because the Holy Spirit has something to say. Have you ever taken time to ponder what the last days would look like? Have you ever said by watching television, listening to the news, that we have been living, we are living in the time of the end? Some people believe that the world is going to end by some nuclear war or devastation. Others feel that mankind will destroy themselves and life as we know it will be over. Still others feel that an asteroid or a comet will hit the earth and destroy it. But a long time ago, somebody ought to say amen. The Bible prophesied exactly how this world would end. And the good news is, somebody ought to say amen. That this human race is not going to die out because of a nuclear war, asteroid, or any other object colliding with the earth. The Bible says that this earth will end as we know it by the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will return to this very earth that he left some 2,000 years ago. He will return in all of his splendor and all of his glory. And when he returns, heaven will finally kiss earth with the power of he who holds eternity in his hand. You remember Jesus, don't you? Somebody ought to say amen. He's the same one who breathed into your nostrils until and you became a living soul. He's the same one who breathed into dirt, into dust, and formed man, and man became a living soul. That's Jesus. He's the same one, come on now, who raised the dead and caused the blind to see. You do know Jesus, don't you? He's the same one, let me make it personal. He's the same one that woke you up this morning. That's right. He's the same one that gave you a brand new and fresh opportunity tonight to follow him. You do know Jesus, don't you? Some say he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Some of us say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, Jesus is coming back again. And there is no doubt that Jesus needs to come because our community, our institutions, and our churches cannot survive without Jesus' return. Who do you call when there's a breakdown in the community? Who do you call when our institutions have shut you out? Who do you call when the churches aren't living up to what they need to be living up to? Who do you call? I call J-E-S-U-S. His name is Jesus. When I have a problem, I don't call a psychic. I call Jesus. When I have a problem that is unsettling, I call Jesus. And the Bible tells me that this same Jesus is coming back again to be united with his children forever and ever and ever and ever. Many of us are overwhelmed with the problems of this world. Matter of fact, we're really trying to figure this thing out. What's going to happen next? And how is it going to affect me? What is going on in the United States as it relates to wars and rumors of wars? What is happening to our economy situation or my housing situation? What is going on in my life? How am I going to survive this situation? Well, I want you to turn with me to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. We're still in God's word. Somebody ought to say amen. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. I want you to see this. What does the word of God say? Listen to what it says. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this to Titus, one of his brothers in the faith, to encourage him and remind Titus of the glorious coming of our Lord. If you find that your life has dark nights, somebody ought to say amen. And you have hit rock bottom. You're caught between a rock and a hard place. And you feel discouraged and you don't know how you're going to make it. And circumstances are raising their ugly heads in your life. You need to look up to the blessed hope and be reminded that Jesus Christ, I said Jesus Christ, I said Jesus Christ, the great physician, the great healer. You got to look up and realize that soon and very soon that Jesus Christ is coming again. Yeah. Listen to me. The most talked about event in the New Testament, watch this. The most talked about event in the New Testament is the second coming of Jesus Christ. In about one in every 25 verses, this is how important this is, in the Bible, related somehow to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ spent more time to discuss this than any other topic in the New Testament. Was his coming? Because it was his desire to be reunited with his people. Yes. He talked about that subject more than any other subject. Because God wanted to come back. Jesus wanted to spend time with him. In the book of John. John chapter 14. Beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Or you're concerned about what's going on in this world. You may be asking the question, what's going to happen to me? You're concerned about how am I going to make it?" The Bible says in these last days, God's people, listen to me, are going to have crazy faith. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Come on now. The Greek says in God's house are many rooms. That means we're all hanging out in God's big house. Somebody ought to say amen. We're in the protection of God's house. God says that in my house are many rooms that you can occupy, that you can spend time and finally rest and relax in me. It's my big house. He says, I go that I prepare a place for you. That when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself that where I am. Come on. That's where you may be also. That's special. God has already set up a room for you. I guess I need to ask you a question. Wouldn't it be a shame if you decided not to occupy that room? I mean, things that make you just go, I mean, he's already set this up. It has your name on the room. But you're so caught up in your own will and way. I'm not ready. He already prepared a room. I'm not ready. Lord, I just need more time. God says, come as you are. Because you can't fix yourself anyway.
That's right.
It's God that needs to fix you. It's God that needs to straighten you up. It's God that needs to change your direction. You don't have the power to do that. The Bible says that your heart is deceitfully wicked. You don't even God says, I'm your way out of nowhere. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm about to show up. I'm about to make a difference in your life. You're going to see me like you've never seen me before. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in me? Do you accept me? And when you do, Jesus says, I have gone to prepare that place for you. That where I am, that where you will be, because I love you with all my heart. I don't know about you, but anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world, beloved. Anywhere without him, dearest, joy would fail. Anywhere with Jesus, I'm not afraid. Anywhere. Fear I cannot. Anywhere with Jesus, he's got a room for me. I want to be there with him. You have to understand that when you hook up with heaven's hero, when God comes into your life, everything that has taken place in the past is done. It's gone. He covers it.
Yes.
He makes it right then. And you don't have to look back in the past anymore. You don't have to worry about those enemies chasing you. Because now what God has covered you, he's changed you. And now you got heaven's hero on your side. It's heaven's hound dog. He's made a difference in your life. So you don't got to look back anymore. And I don't know about you, but there's some things I've done in my life that I don't want to creep back to. Because if God were to pull back the curtain, there it is. If God could pull back the curtain on, come on. But it's only by his grace. And so I'm going to share with you all tonight that once God has prepared something for you, what he wants you to do is receive. The promise of Jesus, it keeps returning. You know, it's like the energizer bunny. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. That's what his promise is. All you gotta do is accept. I don't know about you, but Jesus is followers. That's us. Have been waiting eagerly for his return and looking forward to when that day shall surely come. Are you looking for his coming? Are you watching the signs of time? God gives us these same promises he gave his disciples that he will come again. The disciples asked the Lord, what are the signs of your coming? How will we know when the end of this world will take place, when it is near? How do we know? Jesus gives them a detailed account of how his followers will know that it's close to his return. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, still in God's word, but it's not in God's word, it does not deserve to be heard. So we're going to take a look into God's word. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, listen to this. Take heed that no one deceives you. That many will come in my name. You have to watch this. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible. I mean, are you catching that? If possible, even those who have been watching. That's why you got to stay in your word. That's why you've got to heed the last warning. If you're not in God's word, how are you going to decipher all of the counterfeits? How are you going to spot them? I mean, if you're not in God's word, you can easily attach yourselves to an imposter. Thinking that he is the Christ. Because he's performed some magic in front of you. You see, like we share in God's traveling circus, I think it's the enemy that performs magic. And it's God who performs miracles.
Yeah.
You see, there's a difference. The enemy It's the sleight of the hand. But God is up front. You have to watch the trickery of the enemy. Because what he wants to do is to set you up to fall. And so if they say, in crisis in the desert, do not go. If he says he's in the mall, do not go. Because the Bible says that when he comes back, that how many eyes?
Every eye
shall see him. For the Bible says that Satan himself will come masquerading as if he is Christ, and he will deceive many. Jesus says that the devil will do everything in his power to trick you, to even impersonate the coming of Jesus. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness in high places. The devil is going to do whatever he can do to try to trick you into worship. There it is.
Yeah.
And we talked about that just a couple of days ago. Worship. There's something connecting with worship. We talked about the Sabbath and entering into God's rest. We talked about the mark of the beast and how the enemy wants to be worshipped. Once again, we find that whole situation. It's the enemy's desire to want to be worshipped.
Yes.
Listen to this. What you do the most is what you worship. Put the bottom of your head. I want you to think about what I just said. What you do the most is what you worship. And this battle is about worship.
Yes, sir.
It's fought in your somebody's got to listen to me. All for this whole 3 weeks, the battle is in your mind. That's why the seal of God is sealed in your mind. It's your mind. It is a made up. Somebody was listening to me. It is a made up mind, and that's where the battle is for. The enemy wants to take. That's why you got to be careful what you hear. That's why you have to be careful with what you're reading. Because you're digesting it and it's affecting your mind. That's why you have to be careful what you smoke. What you drink. Because it affects your
mind.
You have to be, because anything that alters your mind, the enemy now has access to your mind. And all he's trying to do is plant a little seed.
That's it.
In your mind. And watch it germinate. Watch it grow. Watch it develop. And that's all he wants is just a little word. You got to be careful. You're asking me, why is he doing this? Why is the enemy the liar, the father of lies? Why is he doing that?
Okay. All right.
Well, a long time ago, he started a lie about Jesus. The devil and some disgruntled angels got together to overthrow Jesus. In the process of that situation, there was a war in heaven. That's in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels. Watch this. And the devil was kicked out. And he took that lie. And he spread it across the universe. You don't believe me? Ask Adam and Eve. The first family of this world. The serpent deceived the woman. It was his desire to destroy the character of God. That's why I told you the other day. That you got to understand that the Ten Commandments are the character of God. God gave you how many fingers and how many toes?
Ten.
10 fingers and 10 toes remind you of what? The Ten Commandments remind you of what? The character of God. Because it's God's character. That's why I told you, you can't allow folks you're a 10, you got to say, I'm a 10. Because you are in the image of God. You are God's character.
That's right.
Should be coming out of you. And the enemy wants to destroy God's character. So he comes after you to destroy his character. I mean, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at you. 10 fingers. 10 toes. Yeah, baby, you look good. 7 holes in your head to remind you of what? That you're perfect in through Christ. Because 7 is a number of perfection. Look at it. Think about it. I told you before, you got 7 holes in your head. It reminds you of God's 7th-day Sabbath. It was a mistake. God didn't make you as a mistake. Because his number 7 is a perfect number. God didn't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to make this perfect. God made you in his image. I want you to see how powerful that is. So you just can't allow folks to walk all over you. You can't allow folks to talk and dog you out because you're in the image of God. And so the enemy wants to set you up to destroy you, to destroy. And it's not about you at all. You may think it's about you. It's not about you. This battle is really not between you and the devil. It's between God and Satan. And the devil wants to destroy you because you represent God's grace. You are in his image. And so the enemy is mad. And you have to be careful because he wants to destroy the very image of God. So you got to be careful with the things that you do. Too much drinking, too much smoking is going to destroy God's image. All that lying and deceit is going to destroy God's image. You got to make decisions that you're going to do what God asks you to.
Yes.
You got to make a decision that you're going to live for God because it's God that changes you. It's God who's coming back for you. It is God, watch this, who loves you unconditionally.
Yeah.
The Bible says that many will be deceived because they have not formed a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is birthed out of God's Word. Watch out. Because if you're not in God's Word, you can mistake the devil as the Christ. The devil will transform himself to look like Christ and do great magic, and many will follow. Because they think him to be the Christ. But he's not. But you don't have to worry because we're going to expose him tonight. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
The devil will use false Christ and false prophets to try to confuse people about Christ's second coming. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It should be on the screen in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. For the Bible says, for such a false apostles, deceitful workers, transform. Are you listening to that? Themselves into apostles of Christ. Now watch this. Watch this. It's no wonder for Satan himself. Are you listening to me tonight? To transform himself into an angel of light. It's not what Richardson says. It's what the Bible says. The devil is going to transform himself and stage a counterfeit of the second coming of Christ. There is only one safeguard. That's God's word.
Yes.
The Bible says that they don't speak according to the law and to the testimony. There's no light in them. The law, what's the law? The law is what? The law is what? I just told you, the law is what? The law is the character of God.
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
The law
is the character of God.
So the next time someone tries to tell you God's law is done away with, you tell me, so you tell me his character is done away with?
No.
It's his character. It's the only thing in the Bible, the only thing that is written with the finger of God. Everything else was written as the Holy Spirit moved them. Am I correct?
That's right.
The Bible is, and I want you to understand this, the Bible is thought inspired, not word inspired. So, as the Holy Spirit fell on the writers of the Bible, they began to write as they were getting, as they were in vision, as God was giving them His word. But the character, God couldn't trust that when just showing a vision. God had to write it with His own finger, and He wrote the Ten Commandments, which is the character of God, with His own finger. So it's the law of God. Their experience with God that brings them to a place, His character, of trust and obedience. Have you ever said, "I know His character"? Have you ever said, "I know her character"? Now you can say that because you're spending time with that person. And you'll catch that a little later. Maybe we cannot identify God's character is because we're not spending time with Him. It's His character. That should not kill. Come on now. That should not steal. That should not bear false witness. That should not commit adultery. That's His character. Remember, because I didn't want you to forget, the seventh day of the week. Why? Because God works, then He rests. And man,
rest.
And then He somebody was listening to me last week. It's a one, it's a two, it's a three, it's a four, it's a five, it's a six, it's a
rest.
It's a one, it's a two, it's a three, it's a four, it's a five, it's a six, and it's
rest.
When you enter into God's rest, into His character, into His obedience, His character, it transforms you. It's almost as if you're Clark Kent. Going into the booth and then coming out like Superman. And it's the righteousness, watch this now. It's the righteousness of God that covers you and that gives you His power.
Right. Right.
Well, let's take a quick look into God's Word. We want to be out of here in the next 10, 15 minutes. Let's go into a quick look into God's Word. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Matthew chapter 24, we're in God's Word. If it's not in His Word, it does not deserve to be heard. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Listen to this. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He is coming with clouds and some eyes.
Every eye.
And a few eyes.
Every
eye. It says, every eye shall see Him. Now, that's one thing you have to understand. The enemy wants to come and masquerade himself as if he's Christ. But when Christ comes, one of the identifying marks is that what? Every eye. Some eye.
Every eye.
Every eye shall see Him. So you don't have to wonder if someone says, I saw Christ return at the time of all. You can say, that's not Him. Because when Christ comes back, every eye will see Him. So the coming of the Lord shall be visible. Let me hear you say visible.
Visible.
That's why you have to be careful. There are some books that promote an incorrect theology. They talk about a secret rapture. That one's going to be taken and the other's going to be. They're misinterpreting Scripture.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that some eyes.
Every eye.
That's what I'm talking about. The Bible says every eye shall see Him. That when Christ will come back, that we all will see Him and we'll be able to go home with Him. The Bible says when Christ comes back the second time, that every eye. That means you don't have to worry what other folks are talking about when Christ returns. Because guess what? You're going to see Him for yourself. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. Verse 10. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside Him. I like this. Men of Galilee, they said, that's you. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Gazing into the sky. This same Jesus, not another Jesus, but this same Jesus, not another Jesus, this same Jesus. No other Jesus, but this same Jesus.
Uh-huh.
not taking one and leaving another. Someone in the plane, they take the pilot, the whole plane crash. But this ain't Jesus. In the book of Luke chapter 21, I know I'm moving fast. Luke chapter 21, verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. No one will have to tell you when Jesus comes back, because you will see him for yourself. But there are other signs that Bible readers will recognize, whether it is a Christ or if it's a counterfeit. Jesus will not come back alone. Did you know that? So number one, his coming will be visible. Let me say visible. Every eye shall see. But he is not coming back alone. Let me hear you say he's not coming back alone. It will be glorious. Will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31? The Bible says, it's on the screen, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his great glory. He is not coming back by himself. Don't be deceived. When he comes, he's coming with all of his angels. Oh, you still missing me, man. He's coming with some. And the Bible says that every eye shall see. He's coming back in all of his glory with all of his angels. And every last one of us are going to see him. We don't have to worry, so don't let the world deceive you. Don't let them tell you another gospel. For the Bible says that when he comes back, it's going to be visible. And every eye will see. You don't need anyone else to tell you, because you're going to see him for yourself. And then he's coming back with a host of angels. I love that. Hanging out together. Coming back for me and coming back for you. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Every eye, he's coming back. When he comes back with all the angels, the Bible says every eye shall see him. He's not coming alone. He's going to bring with him all of his angels. Here is it. Here it is. Listen to God's word. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. And they shall gather together all of Israel, elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Elect. That's you. That's all his people. Jesus is coming back to get you. I think you should be excited.
Amen.
I think you should be jumping into the
world.
Because he's coming back just for you. All those people who claim to be the Christ can't be him. Because they're not going to have all those angels with them. You don't have to worry about that. They're not going to be Christ. You have to understand that Christ has set it up. That even though the devil can impersonate or transform himself into an angel of light, he will not be able to come back like that. So, it will be visible. He's coming back with all of his angels. But also, it will be audible. Let me hear you say
audible.
In the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall do what? Descend from heaven with a what? It's not going to be quiet, folks. It's not going to be quiet, folks. He's coming to make some noise. Isn't that right, Pastor Jerry? He's not coming back that quiet and timid and I'm taking one, I'm scared, I'm going to take another. He's not coming back that way. You've been misinformed. He's not coming back in secret and tiptoeing back and getting his people and snatching them like he's scared of the devil.
That's right.
When he comes back, he's coming back with all power. He's coming back with all glory. He's coming back with all his angels. He ain't got nothing to be scared about. He's going to come back, and the Bible says that he's going to raise those that are sleeping in Christ, and the rest of us are going to meet him in the air. He's going to make some noise. Somebody say, hey, neighbor. He's going to make some noise. So you will hear so much power that the mountains will shake the earth. Come on. The mountains will tilt back and forth like a drunkard. Come on now. When he comes back, it's going to be powerful. It will be so penetrating as you feel the power and the presence of God, and the dead in Christ will wake up and come forth of the grave. Mountains will be moved out of their places. Can you imagine that kind of joy? Your old relatives and family are going to pop up off the grave. Here you are, boy. The coming of the Lord. It's going to be awesome. Just to be able to be reunited with those who have gone on and sleeping and resting in Jesus. The righteous living. Those of us that are still alive. As we're witnessing all this take place, we're going to be caught up in the air. We're going to begin to drift, somebody else said. In the air. Somebody asked me the other day, well, what happens if you cremate? God's going to just take all his body parts and bring them all back. Come on. It's going to be awesome when you think about what God's going to do. And then he's going to be there hanging out. And one thing you're going to see is that you're going to know it's Christ because he's going to be hovering right there. In the air. Because the Bible says that when he comes back again, he's not going to touch this earth again until he cleanses it with fire.
That's right.
So he's going to be hovering, just hanging out on his Harley of the clouds. Okay. He's going to be chilling, and we're going to just be lifted up. Can you just imagine that? To meet the Lord along with our relatives and our friends. Woo. In the air, to spend eternity with God. Well, I wish you guys could catch this set. And then as he takes us back home with him to live with us forevermore, the Bible says it's going to be awesome. You're going to meet him in the air. And then turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53. Paul gives us more information about the second coming. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be what? We should all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, as the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Come on now. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. God's going to change you. So not only will it be visible, but that body that you're living in right now, that body that you, he's going to change you. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to make this thing right. If you got a problem living, he's going to fix it. You got a problem with your heart, he's going to fix it. You got a problem with your blood, he's going to fix it. He's going to change it. It's going to be awesome. Look at this. What drama. What power. Do you see him as he takes his place on sinner's ground? All creation has recognized his creator. The sobering fact that there are some people who are going to be lost, not because God walked away, but because they walked away from God and they turned their hearts towards the enemy instead of God, and they decided, I'm not going to change. I just need more time. God says now, before it's everlasting, too late. What side are you going to take? You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the enemy. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Now, this is deep. The Bible says that no one will remember, watch this, that after this whole thing is over, after you're moving up to glory, after you see this whole thing take place, the Bible says that God will wipe away all their tears from their eyes. That means your life will be meaningless unless you are rooted and grounded in Christ. He's going to remember, watch this, all of the memories of those people will be gone. He's coming back again.
He's coming back.
Nothing is more important than getting your life in harmony with Christ. There is nothing more important than getting your life in balance with Christ. There is nothing more important than a relationship with Jesus Christ. At a time when no one will expect it. Jesus will return. The heavens roll back like a scroll. The earth trembles and bows before him. Every mountain and island is moved out of his place. Soon there appears in the east a small black cloud, about half the size of a man's hand. It is this cloud that surrounds the Savior. It seems to be in a distance. Can you see it getting closer and closer and closer? And brighter, and brighter, and brighter. It's a huge cloud with a giant rainbow sitting above the cloud. People begin to look up. What a Savior. In silence, people begin to look up with breathtaking views, seeing the sky is filled with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels surrounding Jesus. No more crown of thorns on his head, but a crown of glory. Presidents, kings of the earth, great men and women tremble and try to hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks and in the mountains. And say, mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Hide us from the wrath of God. But the saints, that's us. We cry out, Lord, this is our God that we've been waiting for. And he will save us. On each side of this cloud of chariots are wings. And beneath it are living wheels. And as the chariot rolls up, the wheels cry out, hope, hope. The wings, as they move, they cry out, holy, holy, holy. And the holy angels who are surrounding Jesus Christ cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And the saints of God cry out, hallelujah, glory to his name. Amen. Here we are. And as he approaches, he gets closer and closer and closer. Can you see it now? Our relatives are now coming up, popping up out of the grave, those who are sleeping. And here we are, sitting there looking up, and all of a sudden we begin to move and to be lifted. And we're really lifted by our angels. Somebody else say amen. That guardian angel who's been with you all this time begins to lift you up to glory. Here you are. Now, finally, you're up on the cloud. You're sitting down with Jesus and the angels. And then we're told that he takes us back to glory. Somebody else. Amen. And when we get back to glory, the Bible says there's a welcome table. Woo! Woo! And when we get out there, we get off that cloud of a harlot. We step off that cloud. We begin to walk, the Bible says, on this street of gold. Can you imagine? Streets of God. And as we're walking down to that street, because you know we're walking to that great big house where your room, all that room with your name right there. Can you see it now? Walking down and you begin to see the angels and you see the angels and you begin to see the animals. And like Adam and Eve, the animals begin to talk to you. Good evening, Mark. Welcome, Pastor Jerry. And you walk a little further. This is what heaven's about. And then you walk a little and you see the river. The living river. You go down and the water and the river says, would you like a drink? Then you're there in glory. But most of all, you see Jesus. And you begin to take that crown that's on your head. And the Bible says you throw it down at the feet of Jesus. And say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It was tough. It was a struggle. But I made it. Somebody tonight, it's not easy. It's tough. But you can make it tonight. Surrender your life to God now. Well, he's coming back. He's coming back. Just for you. So tonight I'm going to ask that man and that woman tonight. Say, evangelist, I've heard the word. I've been here this whole week. For the last 3 weeks. Every weekend. And I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to worry about anything else. I'm not going to focus on what's going to happen after tomorrow. I'm going to focus on what God is going to do in my life right now. For I want to be ready to meet my Savior when he shall come. If that's you, I just want to invite you to stand with me right now. If that's you, I just want to invite you to stand with me right now. If that's you, I want you to invite you to stand with me right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. There's victory in his name. You just have to trust God. You have to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever baggage I may be carrying, here I am. And tonight, I surrender. I give my life to you afresh. I'm not going to worry about what's happened in the past. I'm not going to focus on what's going to happen in the future. But it's right now that I surrender my life to you. As the Bible workers are now moving, I believe that we're passing out our cards tonight. Because as tomorrow, you know that we're going to have our great baptism. And you need to be in that tomorrow. You don't have to wait. What hinders you? The Bible says there's water. What is that all about? What is baptism all about? Somebody said, well, I've already been baptized before. Why do I need to be re-baptized? Why do I need to be baptized again? Because what happens is that when your feet get dirty, somebody understands. You got to wash them. Some of us have been going through life and you know you're dirty. The dirt of life and the dirt of sin, you just want to say, God, I just want to renew my contract with you again. I just want to renew it, God. And I want to ask you to forget my past. And I'm going to trust you every step of the way. I'm going to tell you, you're going to watch God do something for you that he's never done before. Will your job situation change? It may not. Will your marriage situation? It may not. But guess what? I guarantee you have peace that will pass all understanding. And that's where the battle is fought. Not externally, but internally. And God will do for you.